Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story, which is taken from the Navi, has been written up by Mendel Dubov and published on Chabad.org. It is called Eliyahu HaNavi on Har Carmel. The time was that of Ahav, king of Israel. Historically, most of the kings who ruled the state of the 10 tribes known as Israel were far from virtuous. Ahav, however, took this to an unprecedented low. Ahav did more to anger Hashem than all the kings of Israel who had preceded him. Ahav's behavior was influenced in no small measure by his wicked wife, Jezebel. As a princess of the neighboring kingdom of Tzidon, she led both her husband and his kingdom into the thick of the pagan culture in which she was so immersed. Upon marrying her, Ahav fell entirely under her spell. During the period of the first Beis HaMikdash, which included Ahav's reign, nevuah, prophecy, was still available and widespread. The principal prophet and sage of the time was Eliyahu. It was Eliyahu who single-handedly undertook the opposition of Ahav and Jezebel. In view of Ahav's terrible conduct, Eliyahu HaNavi came before the king and swore in the name of Hashem that rain would cease to fall in the entire region. This decree would remain in place until he, Eliyahu, would revoke it. Sure enough, after some time, a fierce drought raged in the region. Eliyahu went into hiding, as Jezebel was bent on killing him, as well as all of the other prophets of Hashem. 3 years had passed, and Hashem spoke once again to Eliyahu. This time he was to appear again before Ahav, in the hope that the time would be ripe for the harsh decree to be rescinded. The situation had grown so desperate that Ahav had personally joined his chief of staff, Ovadyahu, in a search for animal fodder. They divided the territory between themselves, and each of them continued alone in the field. Now Ovadya was a very righteous man. Under the very noses of Ahav and Jezebel, he hid 100 Nevi'im of Hashem, and taking responsibility for their sustenance, for their food. While on the search, Ovadya met Eliyahu as he came toward him. Eliyahu instructed Ovadya to tell Ahav that he had arrived. Seeing how terrified Ovadya was to do this, Eliyahu swore to him that he would indeed appear before Ahav and not disappear as he had done before. Ovadya conveyed to Ahav that Eliyahu was in the vicinity, and Ahav made his way towards Eliyahu. After an initial sharp exchange between the two, Eliyahu said that if the king wanted any rain to fall, he was to gather the entire people on Har Carmel, the Mount Carmel. Joining them were to be the entire cohort of 850 prophets of the Baal and Asherah, another one of the primary gods or goddesses of the time, the Avodah Zarah. Having no choice, Ahav conceded. The people gathered in excitement and anticipation. As the group of prophets that Eliyahu spoke of, only 450 of them of the Baal made it to the gathering. The 400 prophets of Asherah were actually supported by Jezebel, and she made sure they would not be in attendance. Eliyahu stepped forward and began speaking to the people. How long will you be dancing between two ideas? If Hashem is God, go after him. And if it's the Baal, go after him. The scene was utterly surreal. The people were quiet. They were torn. In their heart of hearts, they knew who was the true God, Hashem, the God of their fathers, whom they had forsaken. On the other hand, the influence and lure of the popular culture was so immediate and powerful. Could it all just be tossed away as nonsense? Knowing exactly what was going through their minds, Eliyahu continued. He asserted the fact that he alone had publicly remained faithful as a prophet to Hashem, while standing right there were hundreds of prophets of the Baal. But he was ready to go to the test. Eliyahu HaNavi proposed that two sacrifices should be brought, and the God who would answer the call by sending a fire to consume it, he would be deemed the true God. The people eagerly agreed. While most of the people were of the wavering sort that Eliyahu described, it's hard to know what the thoughts of these Baal prophets were. Were they lifelong con artists? Brainwashed? Self-deceptive? A mixture of the above? This may relate to the question of whether these men were actually Jewish or imported mavens from the neighboring nations. Regardless, what remains incredible is that they all sheepishly followed every proposition of Eliyahu, even as he made them a total laughingstock. It is readily clear that Eliyahu, with nothing but the power of the faith that he projected, took command of the entire event, even though quantitatively in number he was totally outnumbered. This was a lesson for all generations. The bull for Baal was slaughtered, cut in pieces, and placed on the altar. Over the course of the entire morning, the Baal prophets paced up and down, calling and praying that the Baal answer them. As noon came, Eliyahu began poking fun at them. "Call with a loud voice. Perhaps he's talking, or he's chasing enemies, or he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping and he will awaken." The Baal prophets whipped themselves into a frenzy, lacerating themselves with swords and spears, anything to get the Baal to respond. But nothing came. Now it was Eliyahu's turn. He called all of the people close and began by mending the torn down altar of Hashem. Rashi, quoting the Medrash, tells us that Shaul, the first king of Israel, had built an altar for Hashem on Har Carmel after returning from his war with Amalek. The kings of Israel had destroyed every altar that had been built for Hashem, replacing them with altars for idol worship. Eliyahu now went about repairing this altar. In building the altar, Eliyahu took 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes, the 12 Shvatim of Israel. Around it, he dug a trench. After slaughtering the bull, cutting it up, and setting it on the firewood, Eliyahu instructed that 4 pitchers of water be filled and poured over the sacrifice. He repeated this 3 times, making a total of 12 pitchers full, again corresponding to the 12 tribes. Not only was the sacrifice drenched, but the entire trench was also filled with water. This was all in order that the spectacle of the consuming fire should be magnified all the more. The time of the afternoon offering came, the time when today we pray the Mincha prayer. The verse makes an obvious reference to this, from which the Talmud infers that one must always be really careful with regard to the afternoon prayer, to Mincha, as Eliyahu's prayer was answered only at the afternoon prayer. Eliyahu stepped forward and prayed that he now be answered, and that through this the people would know the true God. In his prayer, Eliyahu adds a request that through the miracle, the people will know that he is truly the agent of Hashem, and that Hashem had instructed him to do all this. The commentaries actually differ whether Hashem had actually instructed Eliyahu to perform this demonstration. Some say that this was the case, while others contend that Eliyahu had done this on his own accord, this being the most efficient way by which he could get the Yidden, the Jews, to return to God. The Talmud says that this was also a prayer that the people should recognize that the fire was a godly answer and that it had not come by means of magic or sorcery. Eliyahu's prayer was answered. A godly fire came down and consumed the entire offering, including all the water and even the stones and the earth of the altar. The people fell on their faces and cried out, "Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem, he is the God, he is the God." And then after the fire came down, Eliyahu immediately instructed that the Baal prophets be captured. The people, led by Eliyahu, dragged them down to the Kishon Brook and killed them on the spot. Now that Baal and its prophets had been dealt with, it was now time for another prayer. Eliyahu told Ahav that he could go, eat and drink, for rain would soon come. Eliyahu himself ascended to the summit of Har Carmel, crouched to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Another miracle had to happen, and it had to happen now. He sent his attendant 7 times to look to see if any cloud had appeared over the sea. Finally, by the 7th time, a tiny cloud was spotted. Eliyahu knew he had been answered. He sent a message to Ahav that he should rush home so that the rain would not hinder his travel. Soon after, the skies grayed, and a downpour of rain descended on the land of Israel. Ahav arrived home and related the entire episode to his wife. Jezebel, however, was not to be fazed by this. On the contrary, she was incensed at the slaying of the Baal prophets and swore to take revenge upon Eliyahu. Now again, the faithful and courageous Navi had to flee. The story of Eliyahu continues.